Well, you came in and you saw the things taped up on the walls of the church, and so you knew, it's Doug. And so you knew that, that part of the service would be you doing important things, not just hearing important things, but you doing important things. And I hope that this service will be like that for you. As Dennis has said a lot of times, sometimes services or scriptures just nudge us an inch in the right direction. I hope today will be one of those nudges in the right direction, in a good direction. So, you've been walking through a lot of these things with me and my family. You know that God has put us through, it's 8 weeks now, of just really hard things that, rides to hospitals and ambulances and, things like that. And I had this thought that when you do the dishes today and you take that washcloth and you just wring it out, that'd be us. Think about us, say a prayer for us. But let me tell you the good side of that is what God's wringing out of me, and I see it, Susie too, is He's wringing complacency out of us. That, I don't know if I'm any different from you. I mean, my desire in life is to be comfortable or lazy or whatever. I mean, that's, isn't that? I mean, if I owned a TV, it would be horrible because there's 300 football games on in the next 15 minutes, and that's where we'd be. So God is just wringing complacency out. And I think part of the result of that is going to be that I'll probably be really obnoxious over the next year or so about things like sharing Christ with others and the importance of reading the Bible and getting excited about what God's doing and getting ready for Jesus coming back. And I hope not to be too obnoxious, but, just mildly Doug irritating, I guess. And but I think it's important. So scriptures are, I don't want to use the phrase coming alive, but, I talk about my Bible. It's giant print, and I say it doesn't talk to you. It yells at you because the print's so big. Well, that's kind of what God is doing in our lives is he's really revealing himself to us in exciting, not new ways, just louder ways. So it's like he's just letting us hear him better. And we love reading the Scripture so much more than ever. As best I can tell you, 8 weeks of hard things, and the Bible is wonderful. How about that? So I wanted to share with you a couple of passages that I have just come to really appreciate. And I'm going to ask you to share a couple of passages of Scripture with me. Three or four of you. I mean, we're not going to do it all the service. But from the Psalms, if God is revealing to you or encouraging you with a part of a psalm, we'll get a microphone and just ask you to encourage me and the rest of us with that passage. Just like the highlighter. See the highlighting? It's not everything. It's just the important stuff. That's what we're going to share today. So if you turn to Psalm 118 and say it'll take 2 hours to read it, you don't get 2 hours. But if you have a couple paragraphs you want to share, I'd like you to share it. It's from Nehemiah chapter 9, if you want to turn there. This came from, we bought some Christmas gifts for Grant and the grandkids. And they're those name plaques. It has the name Grant. And then it has what the name means. And then it has a Bible verse. And we got to work with this guy on the internet who's back in Missouri. Or just a really neat guy. Passionate about God and passionate about the Scriptures. So we got to have a lot of dialogues with him. And when he sent the gift, he sent this bookmark with the kids' names on it. Sawyer or Jane or Grant. And on the back, it had this passage out of Nehemiah. And I looked at it and I thought, this is fabulous. So let me read it to you. Okay, they're doing the rebuilding there. It's the rebuilding time and they're celebrating it. And all the people come together. It's after, just read Nehemiah. It's great. And yet, I don't have to fill you in. Just read it. So they're having this service, and the people are all there, and the Levites are handling the service. They stood where they were and they read from the book of the law, verse 3. The book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. And they spent another quarter of the day in confession and another quarter of the day in worshiping the Lord their God. That's a church service. Standing on the stairs, they got this group of Levites. Standing on those stairs over there, another group of Levites. And one of the Levites shouts out. Okay, all the people are in sackcloth and ashes. They're doing this worship service. And now there's a shift. And they're going to pray. And this one Levite, he shouts out, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the heaven of heavens, and all the heavenly hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that are in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of the heavenly hosts bow down and worship you." Is that great or what? Any emotion out here? Is God great or what? And so you read something like this, and I'll tell you, the first thing that strikes me, besides how great God is that when we pray, it's not about us, it's about who God is. We're praying to this person that is the maker of the universe, gives life to everything that's alive, and all the heavenly hosts are bowing down right now and worshiping Him. And this is who's listening to our prayers. This is the one we get to call Father, Daddy. That's impressive. We should all be impressed. This is who we're praying to. There's another psalm, Psalm 16. What a wonderful psalm. And just a part of it, let me just share a part of it with you. Read the whole thing 100 times. It's great. It's great. But here's just the highlights from Doug's Bible. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. And because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. In Your presence is the fullness of joy, and in Your right hand there are pleasures forever." Beautiful. How about you? How about the microphone? Who's got the microphone? Here we go. Anybody have a part of a psalm that you can share with me or share with others? Yeah, Anna, up here. Come on. Got to run. She's going to talk.
Oh, I got too many things in my hands. Hang on. Psalm 62, starting at verse 5. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." And the other one is Psalm 119, verse 71. This has kind of been my verse for this year. "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees." Because when you're afflicted, you turn your face and your hope, and you cling to Christ, and you learn His decrees.
There's one psalm that talks about, teach me your ways, O God. And that's an interesting phrase. It's like we think we know, but here the psalm writer is saying, God has ways that we still need to be taught. Teach me through affliction. Teach me through days and years. Teach me by wringing out the... Teach me your ways, oh God. Yeah, beautiful. Who else? Joe Stone.
I was gonna hand you this, but I'll read it to you now. Somehow I thought you might need it today. I need it today. Been a people pleaser, and it has almost killed me all my life. And so this one really blesses me. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God.
Amen. Thank you. One more. Is there one more? Will. Here comes the mic.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast your presence away from me, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And it goes on. It's beautiful. That God takes mind of us.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you and be converted. Yeah, Psalm 51. Thank you. Encourage one another. What can I tell you? I'm just starting to believe Jesus is coming back soon. The Tebow shirt just distracted me. Going to see you up here Tebowing, right? Maybe today. Wouldn't that be something? What would you do if you knew he was coming back today? What would you do if you knew he was coming back in a year? That's how we got to live. Jesus is coming back. And the Bible is full of that admonition. Live like he's coming back. You know, and it really, I mean, we've talked about this before. If Jesus told us when he was coming back, we'd all just do nothing till like the week ahead of time. So we have to live like he's coming back. Now, soon, live like it. And I want to encourage you in some things this morning. What does that mean to live like it? Well, let's start with this. What would happen if God took away Andy and Brent and Craig and Doug and burned down the church? I want you to think about this. What would you do to still grow in your relationship with Christ? What would you do to reach the lost for Jesus? What would you do to disciple them? Three questions. I'll give you 90 seconds. I'm serious. It's not a rhetorical question. What would you do for you to grow in Christ without the structure of a church? What would you do to grow in Christ, to lead others to Christ, and to disciple them? You just got to answer it. Okay? Think about it just for a second. I'll get back to you. Here's an important thing I want you to understand this morning. Right? There's three things, just briefly, but they're important. God's power flows from his throne to his own. Name that tune. Majesty, Jack Hayford. But it's a great line, right? God's power flows from his throne to his own. The power of God and the authority of God to represent him, to advance his kingdom, to share the gospel with people, to make disciples, and so on, flows to you. It doesn't come out of the authority structure of a church. There are some things, stay with me here. There are some things only God can do. There are some things He delegates to the church to do. And there are some things He delegates to you to do. And it's a pretty important principle to understand the things He delegates to you to do, He's not going to do for you. He told you to do them. You understand that? That we as believers are given assignments by God and given the authority to do it, and God equips us to do it, and He empowers us to do it, and we need to go do it. We can't do the things only God can do. We can't save people. We can't die redemptively for people. We can't forgive their sins. We can't do those things. But there are things clearly in Scriptures He has told you and I to do, and we need to get on it. And He has given us everything we need to go do it. God's power flows to you from His throne. Second thing, we are saints. This is a tough concept to get, even though the New Testament says this over 200 times. We are saints. Those of you who have the bumper sticker that says, I'm just a forgiven sinner or whatever it is, I'm scraping that off your car. There's a truth to it, but listen, it becomes an excuse not to do anything for the kingdom of God because I'm just a sinner. You're a saint. Yeah, the whole New Testament is, half the New Testament are the apostles straightening people out and telling them, get it together. Why? What's the motive? If they're just sinners, the New Testament will only be that thick. They wouldn't even bother writing, you're a loser. They wouldn't even write what they wrote. No, we're saints. That's why they wrote what they wrote. It's to encourage us to go from here to here. Because that's who we are. Saints. If you are in Christ, the Bible declares 200 times or more, you are a saint. So how do saints live? How does a saint live in Tehachapi? What does that mean that you're a saint living in Tehachapi? Working at the prison, working at the school, working at the hospital, what does that mean? How do you conduct yourself as a saint in this community? We looked in 1 Peter, talked about being priests fit for royalty. How do priests fit for royalty live in this community? What do they do? Priests, they make sacrifices, offerings, prayers on behalf of the people, and they represent God to the people. And we are all that. That's who we are, according to Peter. We're these priests. We're saints. More than that, one more than that. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. If you are in Christ, you are His daughter. You are His son. Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. Susie and I have read this 100 times, still don't fully grasp it, but each time we read it, we love it more and more. Stay with me, see it, read it 100 times today, or this week, or whatever. Beginning in verse 14, which is kind of picking up in the middle of a sentence. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received a spirit of sonship, adoption. And by this spirit we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. What an amazing concept. This spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is who we are in Christ. Prince, princess. Son, daughter. So our friend told us a story. He says, I went home to the ranch not too long ago that he grew up on to see mom and dad. And when he got to the ranch, first thing he did is he went in the house, he went in the kitchen, opened the refrigerator, took something out, closed the refrigerator, sat down, talked to dad. Can you identify with that? You go home to mom and dad, walk in the kitchen, take something out of the refrigerator, sit down, have a conversation with mom and dad. He says, that's what children do. They don't have to ask permission. They don't stand in line. They are heirs. They're not there as guests. They're family. Have you ever just, I mean, this, when we go to heaven, we're not there as tourists. We're not there as guests. We're there as family. Even the angels don't get that. So I don't feel too bad about, you know, my head going to explode. Even the angels don't get that. They look in wonder on that. Angels have got to be looking, going, you adopted them? You know it. Because, you know, look around the room. And those of us that are in Christ are adopted by the very King of the universe, that the heavenly hosts bow down and worship. And when they see us coming into heaven, they're going, okay, family. Shaking their head, going, are you kidding me? Family, because of Christ. What an amazing thing that's disrupted the entire universe, that we would be adopted by Christ. All right, so we get that idea. It's wonderful. It's someday, it's out there, How do you live in Tehachapi as a son or daughter of the Most High King of the universe? That Ephesians tells us has given us already every spiritual blessing. He's called us to go and share the gospel. How do we live as a son and daughter? And how do we live, how do we pray when we get to come to Him as our Daddy, Abba, Father, such a term of endearment. But I appreciate it. Some of you had messed up relationships with your dad, and when you hear this phrase, you go, I don't know what to do with that. But at least understand it as a term of endearment. Our precious Daddy lets us come to Him and pray to Him as His son or His daughter and make our requests to Him. Is that awesome? So how do we live knowing the power of God flows to us, to you? Why? Why does it flow to you? Because you're His son or His daughter. Because you're a saint. So, all right, so now what do we do? These are truths. Let's just live in the truth. Saints, sons, daughters is who we are in Christ. All right, so I'm reading two books that have ruined me. One, Chuck Donnell told me to read a bunch of times, and a couple other guys told me to read a bunch of times. And, you know, I mean, you can tell me to read a book, and I'll just go, sure. 8 or 10 times. I'm good for that. Sure. I'm in the middle of 5 books right now. All right, so just go ahead and recommend another one. It's fine. These two, I mean, are ruining me. And what a wonderful way. They're both on missions. The first one is about this guy in China who gets saved at 16. At a time in China where there's maybe 100, 200 Christians because the purges have gone through and the communists have just killed all the Christians. So it wasn't real popular. And he gets saved. And the second book, I'll tell you about him later. Second book is then a book on missions. Joe, you recommended a book to me, and I think I bought the wrong book, but it's great. So it's a book on world missions. And it's written by a guy who's a reporter, book writer, and he's gone to all these mission agencies around the world, and he's interviewed people, and he compiled it into a book. This is what God's doing around the world. You are going to be amazed at what God is actually doing around... Not you guys, because you just got back from a big mission trip. And you're going to be amazed at what God is doing around the world. So here are just some... 8 out of 10 people on the planet now have access to the entire Bible in their own language. And this is why an organization like Global Media Outreach, in 2010, that's a whole year ago, in 2010, 15 million decisions for Christ and 4 million people going through the discipleship program. A couple of computer geeks decided we can do this. Those numbers are staggering, and you can be a part of that. Be a part of Global Media Outreach. These people who need the follow-up need people like you and me to sit at their coffee tables and help disciple them through email. It's a great opportunity. Between 1990 and 2005, in that 15 years, the number of Christians in Cambodia grew from 200 to 400,000. More Muslims have turned to Christ in the last 10 years than in the previous 1,000 years. Every month, except February because it's shorter, every month, 5 million people are added to the kingdom of God. 5 million new believers around the world every month. 14,000 of our brothers and sisters are martyred for Christ every month. 5 million new believers. Here's a couple stories. A Vietnamese pastor with an unpronounceable name, because it has two vowels, A and I. Any guess? There's a city in the Bible named that too. I can't pronounce it either. A-I? Why not? A Vietnamese pastor named A-I was in jail for being a Christian. He met there a young man named, I'll call him Duck, D-U-C, best I can do, from the Ta Dang tribe, and he led them to Christ while in prison. After their releases from prison, AI started Duck in a Bible training course for remote church planters. It's a 4-level course. In the first level, the student has 1 month to lead 5 people to Christ. After that month, AI was surprised to get a phone call from Duck, asking if he would journey all the way to the Tai Dang region to baptize his converts. His answer briefly was, no, it's too far away. Why should I travel all that way just to baptize 5 people? Duck replied, 5 people? I must have misunderstood. I haven't won 5 people, but 5 villages to Christ. 753 people who need to be baptized. Yeah. Wow. All right, mistakes happen. Here's another story. And all this mission book, I mean, reading all these things, like this, you know, like this. Well, lest you get the impression that God only works in the outer boondocks, let me mention a city in Brazil with an unpronounceable name to Doug, with a population of 1.2 million people. Back in 1989, a housewife named Elizabeth Cornelio became concerned about her city because it was a major center of spiritism and because the crime rate was so high. So she began meeting for prayer with 4 women from other churches. How many of you could do that? Right? Four other friends get together and pray for your town? Of course. But here's what happens. Then, 4 years later, 1993, she invited Christians from all over the city to get together and pray for the city. 850 people showed up. Her pastor kicked her out of her church, saying members of other churches are not spiritual brothers and sisters. They are at most spiritual cousins. Happens. Undeterred, currently, almost 200,000 women pray for the city every day, linked by her radio program. On a typical weekend, that group of people starts one new church, 50 new churches a year. But every believer in town gets into the act in his or her own way. The Christian midwives anoint newborns with oil and dedicate them to Jesus. Christians walk through the aisles in supermarkets and they pray for people. A few preach in bars to great effect. Some get up at 4 a.m. and walk through the city and just pray for people. The result, in 7 years, evangelicals in this city went from 7% of the population to 45% of the population. God is on the move. He is doing amazing things. So one more card here about Brother Yun, the heavenly man. He got saved at 16 and he shared Christ with over 2,000 people in his first year of being a Christian. Now, he leads a network of house churches in China of more than 60 million souls. He spent years of hard labor in prison. This reporter in this particular book interviewed several church house church guys. They're farmers with cell phones. They're people just doing God's work. China right now has more evangelical born-again believers than the United States, where just maybe 1970 it had just a few hundred Christians. Without exception, every top leader in China has done hard time in prison, at least 3 years, often 20 years or more. A Chinese believer, according to this reporter, a Chinese believer won't ask you where you went to seminary. They get to know who you are by these three questions. How many have you led to the Lord? How many churches have you started? And how many years have you spent in prison for Jesus? I tell you, the book is ruining me. I'm looking at my life, I'm thinking, all right, past year, in one-on-one, I don't know, you talk to a group of people, you don't know what happens, but one-on-one, in the hospital, in my office, I probably had the privilege of leading half a dozen people to Christ this year. And I look at this and just go, that is so lame. That somebody at 16 years old would get saved and share Christ with 2,000 people in his first year of being a Christian. That some guy gets saved in prison and he goes home and he leads five villages to Christ in a month. 700 people. And I'm a pastor. You guys pay me to do this stuff. Not great. Still cashing the check, but it's not great. Look, when I talk about God is wringing me out like a dish towel, but he's wringing out complacency, that's what's happening. Is I want to see people get saved more than ever more in my life, ever before in my life. I want to see people get saved. And I want so much for you to want to see people get saved too. There are probably 10,000 souls in Tehachapi that need Christ. I'm not talking about the people behind bars either. So add another whatever. There are thousands of people right here in Tehachapi need to get saved. And how are they going to hear? We are going to tell them. We got, 350, 400 adults who go to this church. And if we would share Christ with people every day, every week, hundreds of people would get saved in this town every year, just from our church. We've got a dozen great churches in town. I'm not trying to shame you. I am the one who feels ashamed. But I want to encourage you. Who are we? We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are saints, redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's who we are. And there's lots of people in this town who need to hear that Christ is risen from the dead. And he wants them to be saved as well. He wants them to be saved just like us. I've got... is Charles back in the room? He's coming. Oh, there he is. Come here. Charles Dressen. He does stuff. He and, you know, the other Charles, they do stuff in town. And he's asked, you know, hey, what do we do to become a ministry of the church? And I said, why would you want to do that? If God's calling you to do something, go do it. God's empowerment is coming from his throne to you. Go. I'm telling you. I'm not telling him. I already told him. I'm telling you. If God's calling you to do something like share Christ, go do it. If God's calling you to pray for somebody, get on your knees. Go pray for him. Don't ask permission to do those things that God's clearly told you to do. Anyway, 5 minutes. We practice once. All right, come on. Come here. Tell us. He's going to tell us what we're doing. Okay. He's going to tell us what he's doing and what his buddies are doing. And then we're going to pray for him, and then I'm going to challenge you to help him out. All right? You got to stay like within that much of this thing. Okay.
All right. Well, Happy New Year's, and if you don't have a resolution or you don't like making them like me, I believe the Bible gives us one, and it's you can say this prayer to yourself. I say it to myself every day. Paul tells us to throw off the old man and let the new man live. So I pray for more of Christ, that I die daily and that he lives through me. So it's a good prayer. So about this street witnessing that we do, door to door, you know, going into shops and parks. We just really started asking people, if you want to come and see. Like Jesus said, come and see. And when you lose your life, you're going to find it. And what Jesus said, everything he says is true. Because he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I want to share a couple stories with you today. And one thing that the Lord showed me, I didn't share this at first, so I got some different stuff for you. But he said when we follow Jesus and we go out into all the world and we preach the gospel, that we're answering the prayers of your relatives, your friends, the saints around the world. Someone in India is praying for a family here in Tehachapi to come to Christ. And he says, when you go out, Charles, and you're knocking on the door and you're telling them about Christ and planting seeds or you're watering, that you're answering the prayers of saints around the world. Now, let's say someone's praying in India for this family and they're praying for this Hindu family. And even though I went and talked to them, they're not going to call them up because they don't want to talk about Christ. Oh, yeah, some Christians came to my door. They may never talk to them. You may never know that your prayers are answered, but God is answering your prayers. He answers. He's in that business of answering prayers. So really, the whole work starts with prayer, and that's a whole different subject. But if you're lacking a prayer life, just be obedient to Christ. Love him and love people like he loved the people. Ask him for his eyes, his ears, his hands. And let him work through you, in us and through us, as Paul said. And then you will see your prayer life explode from just a five-second prayer a day to hours a day where Paul says, pray without ceasing. Paul got it. He was always for the Lord, you know, just laboring for the Lord. And so that's something he showed me. But if you want a prayer life, just trust God. Start. He made this whole relationship thing. Relationship is so much better than religion. Religion is hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me, you are thirsty, and I'll give to you freely. But a couple stories. We were out on the street one day, and we see this guy walking, and just asked him, do you know Jesus Christ? And I think he's kind of Hindu. And so he said, all roads lead to God. And I said, no. Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to death. And many try to enter by it. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. So he was real gentle. And I said, do you have a Bible? He says, no. We give him a Bible. And I said, can we pray for you? And he said, yes. So most people won't turn you away from praying for him. So we prayed for him that day. And it looks like he was walking to work. He didn't have a car. So then we're later in the day. We're evangelizing through all the apartments. And we come across an Indian family. And the mother's kind of frustrated. Her daughter is about 12 or 13, talking to a few of us. And she just, you know, was, you could see in her face, she was like, okay, finally she told her daughter to give the track back to us. You know? So the Holy Spirit just showed me, he said, wait a second. He was connecting the dots. So I said, is your dad JP? And the daughter says, yes. I said, well, you just talk to him about Jesus on the road. I said, ask him about Jesus when you get home. And we closed the door. You know, we don't know what the Lord was working with JP on the street. And like God just intervened on his life while he was walking to work. God's in that kind of business. He throws himself. He's persistent. He perseveres. He wants us to persevere as well. So anyways, we knew we worked at the Shell gas station. So we go down there. He's not there. The lady tells us, yeah, his business didn't work. His deli shut down, so he's laid up. So at Christmas time, we go to his house, and we just bless him with some food, gift cards. He has two young daughters. You know, one's about my daughter's age. So we just bless him and tell him it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. And we left. You know, and the wife's whole face changed that time. Just real welcoming us in. So God is always working on these people, even after you leave. You plant a seed. So then last week we were out in the streets. I take Chloe, my 7-year-old daughter, and we need lots more women and girls out there. So we encourage you to come. There's a lot of girls lost at the parks. And, you know, just so be encouraged to come out and be praying for us. We just covet your prayers. But God's doing a great work in Tehachapi. People are getting saved. Christians are getting revived. We know our land is in trouble, and I don't want to see my kids grow up, but we need to be examples. Doug's read Psalm 78 many times. Read it, about the generations being skipped. But, so, scoot up a little. So, anyways, me and Chloe go back, and we give the little 4-year-old a gift, you know, a little pillow pet, and she just lies. They didn't have anything. She grabs it and says, hugging it. We go back out to the car, and Clay goes, Daddy, did you see that girl's eyes, how happy she was? So I got to teach her a story about giving. You know, it's more blessed to give than receive. So we don't know if they're Christians, but that day I said, JP, would you and your family like to come to church with us? You know, maybe January 9th. And he says, yes. He goes, yeah. He gives me his cell phone. He says, will you call me Saturday before? I said, yes. I said, we'll send a couple cars and we'll come and pick you guys up. And then afterwards we'll have lunch. So be praying for this family of four. The husband's name's JP. I can't pronounce all the names. And the little 4-year-old girl, her name is Mysterious. So that's one story. And another story I'll tell is about this girl, Itzel. Jesus was so good with questions. And we were at the park one day, and I asked her, I said, do you know Jesus Christ? And she goes, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, okay. And the Holy Spirit was showing me, like, she's identifying with religion, not with Christ. So I showed her that, and, you know, I always ask little simple questions. You know what John 3:16 says? She said no. So I gave her a little Bible, and I said, why don't you read it? So I had her reading the Word, because the Word never comes back void. And even if they seem hard later, the next time you see them, we go back or we see them, their countenance has changed, because God's still working in their heart after we leave. But she said, yeah, I'd like to receive Christ. And I said, well, you could just pray on your own, or would you like me to lead you in a prayer? So she goes, lead me in a prayer. And she was so happy and thankful. But the people in our community, 70% of the time, are just thankful that we came. And they say, we need to see this more. And that's, they say, the Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, they come all the time. But we never had Christians. We've had maybe once or zero. That's the common theme. And Jesus said that we're to be the light of the world, to let our light shine before men. Don't hide it under the lampstand, but raise it up. All right? So if you have any fears, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of joy, power, and a sound mind. So he wants us to trust him. The Holy Spirit wants to help us, encourage us, and trust us. And when we go out, you can go out and just pray if you want to come and see. You know, you don't have to talk. Just come and pray. We need prayer warriors that we're out there. But God will bless you. When you get to heaven, eternity is a long time. We talk about couch time here, anyone who's done Growing Kids God's Way. But God's going to have couch time with you. You know, the books of remembrance. Okay? You say, well, he's going to sit down on the couch with me for a week and show me things. How about a billion years? All the tracks that you've left or the people you've been praying for, God never rests. He never sleeps. He's always working. You pray about it. And God can use anything. And it pleased God through the foolishness of the gospel preached, right? So, anyways, this is kind of, but I have Doug read something here. And God bless you guys, and just keep praying for us.
We're going to pray for him now. And let me check two things. Some of you, I know, God is talking to you saying, I got to go with him. He has put that in your heart. This is what you need to be doing. So before you go today, you need to track him down. He and his wife are teaching a Sunday school class down the hall. You're going to have to go find him. Or look him up in the church directory. Give Charles a call. But here's another thing you can do for him. If you say, oh, I'm just totally intimidated by going knocking on the door telling people about Jesus, fine. Ask him where he's going to be on Saturday or Monday. What street is he going to be going down knocking on doors? Ask him ahead of time, a week ahead of time. During your lunch break, when you're on the way home from work, whatever, walk down that street and pray for the people in those houses on that street. Pray on Tuesday, pray on Thursday, pray on... Don't have to get organized, just go do it. So that when these guys show up, 3 or 4 or 10 or 15 people have been already praying for the people who live in those houses on that street. We can do this. So if you're interested in doing that, get his number. So you start calling him saying, where are you going next week? And this week you can be praying for that. Let's pray for him now. Merciful Savior, thank you for having mercy on us. May we have mercy on others enough to share the good news with them too. Pray for Charles, all of his friends, family that join him when they join you in doing this. Use them, protect them, fill them with your Spirit, give them great wisdom as they share the powerful but simple gospel with people. Use us too, Lord. Wherever it might be, use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. He is the most insistent person I have ever met. First service, he's going, here, read this. We're walking down the stairs. Well, I mean, it's like 10:30. It's what? And I read it. I gave in, right? All right, listen to the words of this. The fellowship of the unashamed. Many of you have heard this before. It's worth just listening to. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. But my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, and paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I must go until he returns. Give until I drop. Preach until all know. And work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So, the invitation is for you to be part of the fellowship of the unashamed. Around the room, we have some time. What I'm going to ask you to do, we have, I don't know, 5 or 6 different topics up on the walls. I'm going to ask you to settle on one. Let me tell you what they are, more or less, and ask you to go there now and begin praying for whatever one of these you're going to choose to pray for. And I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to pray for whatever it is you decide to do, whichever one you choose to pray for. I'm going to ask you to pray for it now before you go. I'm going to ask you to pray for it all week. I'm going to ask you to pray passionately even for a month on the one thing you choose. Just one thing. They're all good. Pick one. And pray passionately for it for a month beginning right now. Tehachapi Schools. To pray for the teachers. Pray for the students. Pray for the schools. Pray for Debbie. Pray for other school teachers. School teachers, raise your hand. Debbie? No, I see that hand. I love saying that. I see those hands. Thank you. Pray for the schools, the teachers, and the students. CCI. Officers or staff, raise your hands. CCI guys. Okay. Want to pray for the officers at CCI. Want to pray for the staff at CCI. And some of you, I'm calling you to pray for the inmates at CCI. That souls that are lost would get saved. One of those signs just says, your neighbors that live within half a mile of your house. For me, that's Oak Flat. Driving up from San Juan, it's half a mile. I go by there every day. I want to pray for those people who live in that half mile. Every day. I'm going to call you to do the same thing. People half a mile from your house, to pray for them passionately for a month. Pray for Charles, and all those guys that go door to door. Pray for the children in Awana who don't yet know Christ. There are some, let's pray for them, that they would hear the gospel and get saved. One of them says, Lord, give me the opportunity this week to share the gospel with somebody. I dare you, go pray that passionately. Today, this week, this month, and see how God will use you for His kingdom. So I'm going to pray for you now. You will be officially dismissed, but don't go anywhere until you have found one. They're the same on this side as on that side. Find the one you want, that God's calling you to, giving you some tug in your heart for. Spend some time praying now. Don't take the sign off the wall. Just write it down. And start praying today. For a week, passionately. For a month, passionately. How many souls in Tehachapi are lost that we see every day? I don't know. But we need to be praying for them and sharing Christ with them. That's what we're called to do. Let me pray for you. Would you stand with me? And let's pray. Lord, you say in your word that we are led by the Spirit of God. May it be so. That we've not been given a spirit of fear, and we're not to be in slavery to fear, but a spirit of adoption, a spirit of sonship that has ushered us into your family, and we can call you Daddy. We thank you for that. Help us to understand what that means. Help us to understand what it means to be saints. Help us to understand what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And how we live that out at work. How we live it out in our homes. Help us to really see what that means. And to live lives worthy of this calling. Use our hands and use our mouths that we would help to you in furthering your kingdom. Show us where we fit into that. Bring us people who need to be saved and let us just start talking about who you are. I pray for everyone in this room. that you would speak to us and guide us and use us. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.